Well, good morning, and thank all of you for being here again on another gorgeous first day of the week. We're so glad to have everybody back today. Brother Bill is back with us after about 2 months at least, wasn't it, Bill, in and out of hospitals and going through operations, and we're so thankful that the Lord has answered our prayers and your prayers, and we need to keep all of us in our prayers each and every day. As a matter of fact, it has a lot to do with our lesson this morning, which is bear ye one another's burdens. I want to talk to you about patience and how much it can help us in our lives. If you would, please turn to Galatians chapter 6, and we're going to look at the first two verses. Galatians 6. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, Paul wrote, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou be also tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Bear ye one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ, of course, is the gospel which began in Jerusalem when the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles and began to guide them into all truth. The word rendered burden in this passage simply means weight. But in this particular case, it means excessive weight, heavy load, or something that's hard to carry. Contextually, the emphasis of this verse is spiritual. Those heavy loads are things involved in leading the life of a Christian, which are doubts and trials and temptations and specifically sin. But the precept of bearing one another's burdens certainly goes beyond the spiritual, and it takes in all the needs, both spiritual and physical, that we're subjected to. Anything that is a burdensome load for a brother or sister to carry certainly qualifies. Look at John the 13th chapter with me, please. John 13. John 13, our Lord Jesus is speaking here. And he said in John 13 and verse 34, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." Galatians 6 and verse 2 that we just read gets to the particular application of that commandment. And I want to take some time this morning to consider how we can and should put it into practice in our lives. Jesus expects us to take a deep and abiding interest in each other. Mutual interdependence is supposed to characterize the Church of Christ. Look around us. In the universe which we live, nothing stands alone. Each individual object is just a part of the whole, mutually dependent upon other objects, which when taken together constitutes a finely balanced universe. In the human body, the principle applies as well. And Paul uses the human body to illustrate the point that this interdependence is to characterize the church also. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll begin reading in verse 14. "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Verse 18. But now God hath set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble or necessary. Verse 23. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh. Verse 25. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have that same care one for another. The point is, brethren, we need each other. We need each other. We depend on each other. And that necessitates that we be willing to bear the burdens of our brothers and sisters. Galatians 6:2, which we read earlier, indicates that our interest should be drawn to the troubles, to the heavy loads of our brethren, their cares and their burdens should be our cares and burdens as ours should be theirs. The principle applies in so many areas. Let us consider, first of all, the physical aspect of our lives, the necessities that we all have. Food, clothing, shelter, and so on. The New Testament is very clear about our responsibilities along this line as far as congregational activity is concerned, and we hear quite a few lessons on this subject. Let's look at a few passages. First of all, such as Acts 6, verses 1 through 3. We read this morning in our Bible class. Acts 6, verses 1 through 3. In those days, when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Verse 2. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them, and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Now the Grecian Jews, or Hellenists, were Jews of a foreign birth and Greek education, and so called because they adopted the manners of the Hellenist or the Greek. Consider also the familiar passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Let's look at that. First Corinthians chapter 16. Paul wrote, Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, and there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever you shall approve by your letters, then will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. Now we're all aware of these congregational responsibilities, but the emphasis of Galatians 6 and verse 2 is individual. This is where special attention needs to be paid. Let's notice a few passages dealing with the individual, if you would. Look at 1 Timothy 5. Verse 16. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them. And let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. Now I want you to come with me to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. James chapter 2, and we're beginning in verse 15. Verse 15, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, it is dead being alone. There's one more passage that I want us to look at before we make some applications and comments. And it's found in 1 John 3 and verse 17. 1 John 3, verse 17. John wrote, But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Each of these three passages that we just looked at deals with the individual and bearing a brother's burden in the physical realm. You know, there are actually many opportunities to do this. And these passages, along with Galatians 6 and verse 2, emphasize the fact that we need to look for them. We need to be observant, brethren. Let's just think of a practical case or two. With the way things are in today's business world, it's not unusual for a brother to lose his job, either through company being bought out or plant moving to a foreign country for cheaper labor, or maybe just a layoff. Every one of us knows how difficult it can be to try to supply the needs of a family when you just don't have enough money to do so. Most of us would not turn to the church until we were flat broke, because that's just the way we are. That's the way we are. But we all know what a burden it would be to not be able to supply what our family needs. Now here is where individual Christians with a watchful, concerned eye can help and do so in a way that wouldn't make a needy brother or sister feel bad at all. There are many ways to help besides just handing over money. There are many ways to help share the burdens, such as extra food when you find a really good deal at the store, having a family over for dinner. Just a host of things that we can think of when we're trying to think of them. This is the story of an older sister years ago who got sick. She was alone and unable to work. Now, she wasn't permanently unable to work, but was going to be a while before she was going to be able to get back to work. She was a maid at a hotel, or motel. Hadn't made much money and had very little saved. It wasn't too long into her illness before all of her money was gone. She couldn't even buy the medicine she needed, much less the right kind and proper amount of food. She was really too proud for her own good, and going to the church for help was the last thing she would have done. But that sister was slowly starving to death. And it was a few observant Christians who were looking for an opportunity to share a burden, who thought about others and considered what her situation might have been, who were able to help her privately until she could get back on her feet. These are just a few examples, brethren. But there are many other opportunities to fulfill Galatians 6 and verse 2 in the physical realm if we're looking for them. So how about the burden of affliction? By this I mean the burden of sickness and bereavement or some other form of distress. Think of those who are ill. Illness alone is bad enough. But when it confines you to home and you no longer can get out and associate with your fellow Christians, it can lay upon you like a massive weight. At such times, we need to consider not only their physical condition, but their emotional as well. Look with me at Matthew, the 25th chapter, please. Matthew 25. Matthew 25. Jesus said in verse 36, "Naked and ye clothed me. I was sick and ye visited me. I was in prison and ye came unto me." The idea of visited there is ministering to their needs. That's what that means there. The emotional distress of serious illness is a burden equally severe as the illness itself. We may not be able to help too much with the physical aspect, but we can sure help with the emotional. We can feel with them. We can suffer with them. We can share their burden. Sometimes we get so tied up with our own problems that we forget to thank how a brother or sister so-and-so is doing and how they're feeling. Don't do that. Don't get so tied up in our own problems that we forget our brothers and sisters who need us. Many times at the death of a loved one, Christians flock to the side of the survivor. You've seen that. They flock to the side of the survivor. That's good, and that's as it should be. But from what I understand, it's after the funeral, after all the visits, that the true bereavement sets in. That's when this emptiness inside feels like a great hole that cannot be found, cannot be filled. Maybe that's where the burden needs to be shared the most, brethren. Look at Romans 12, very simple passage. Romans 12. Paul told us in Romans 12 and verse 15. Very simple. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. We can help with a visit, a kind word, something that shows that we care. It's so easy to get taken up with ourselves, brethren. But there is room on our shoulders to help share someone else's burdens too. Let's consider also the spiritual needs and burdens. We all have spiritual burdens. These are uppermost in Paul's mind in Galatians 6 and verse 2. It may be a sin that is particularly trying for a brother or sister. Perhaps a temptation that you're having trouble defeating. Let's share that burden. Let's share that burden with that brother or sister. We all need assistance. We all need encouragement. We can help one another in facing temptations. You know, one thing that's always puzzled me and troubled me, in organizations like the Alcoholic Anonymous, when a member is confronted with the temptation to drink, he calls another member for support and assistance in shouldering that burden. Christians very rarely do that. Is it because there would be little sympathy and understanding? I sure hope not. We're all in this together, brethren. We're all in this together, and we can help each other. Turn to Psalms 142, please. Psalms 142. Psalms 142. Oh, how sad it would be to feel as the psalmist felt in Psalms 142 and verse 4 when he wrote, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. No man cared for my soul. How sad that is. No man cared for my soul. Now another area in this realm that needs consideration has to do with single Christians or married Christians whose spouses are not members. Sometimes it's difficult to be a faithful Christian, even when you can share your problems of a spiritual nature with your husband or your wife. It'd be even harder when you're alone. These people go into the world without the constant source of spiritual encouragement that a faithful husband or wife can supply. I can't imagine what it's like. I've never been there. But it must be horrible. It must be terrible. I imagine these brothers and sisters can feel pretty alone sometimes. Our concern for them, and I mean real concern and sincere interest in what they're doing and how things are going, has got to help. Our concern for them has got to help them. The burdens of loneliness can be lightened by someone sharing that load. Now our Lord knows, brethren, He knows that the burdens of life are heavy enough without our adding to them in any way. Our job is not to add, but to lighten the burdens of our brothers and sisters, to make the road a little easier to traverse, and in doing so, to so fulfill the law of Christ. In the 19th century, gospel preachers often taught the gospel plan of salvation to children and to unlearned and illiterate men and women. One convenient way to ground disciples in the truth was hold up their hand and grasp each finger at a time and say, hear, believe, confess, repent, repent, confess, and be baptized. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized by fingers. Sectarians begin to ridicule it as the five-finger creed of the Church of Christ, or the five-finger formula of the Campbellites. They loved to call us Campbellites back in those days because they wouldn't accept the fact that the Lord started our church, but that a man named Alexander Campbell started, which is a lie. And they called us the five steps of the water gospel. Christians were mocked and called the five steppers. Because truth was taught so simply, with the five-finger exercise, enemies of the cross made fun of the process. It was easier to do that than to show how it contradicted the Word of God. So what did they do? They railed and they reviled. They made fun of us. I can remember it. Called Campbellites. If the Lord and the apostles never presented a five-step formula, please tell me which one did they omit? Which should we leave out? Should we omit hearing first? Since faith comes by hearing the Word of God, how can we leave it out of Romans 10:17? Jesus said one must hear His voice, His Word, in order to have spiritual life. John 5:25. One cannot trust in Christ until he hears the word of truth. Ephesians 1:13. So if a person never hears the gospel, he can never believe. Therefore, we cannot omit hearing, can we? Secondly, omit belief. Well, since without faith it's impossible to please God, how can we fail to include faith? Hebrews 11:6. Jesus said, if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins. John 8:24. The Lord said, he that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16:16. So obviously, we must not omit faith as one of the steps. one must take in order to be saved. Third, let's omit repentance. Really? Since God commanded all men everywhere to repent, how can we remove repentance? Acts 17:30. Jesus said, repent or perish, turn or burn, Luke 13:3. Christ connected repentance with forgiveness of sins in Luke 24:47. Thus, we may not omit repentance as a step for the sinners to obey. Well, fourth, let's omit confession then. Well, since only those who confess that Jesus is Lord can be saved, how can we omit confession? How can we omit it? Romans 10:9-10. Jesus said, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father. Acts 10:32. If we deny him, he will also deny us. 2 Timothy 2:12. Hence, we cannot omit confession of Christ as a step into salvation. That leaves baptism. Omit baptism? Since baptism is for the remission of sins, how can we possibly ignore it? Acts 2:38. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Baptism is one of the conditions in which one must comply in order to be saved in Christ, John 3:3-5. So we dare not omit baptism. Jesus and the apostles did indeed present the five steps which some say were never given. Again, which steps shall we take away from God's book? You remember Revelation 22:18-19. Do not take anything away from this book or add to this book. So which ones do they want us to do that? Take away or add to? In a conversion of the accounts in the book of Acts, which ones were omitted? Tell me. Did the Ethiopian eunuch fail to repent? Did the Philippian jailer not confess with his mouth that Jesus is Lord? Was anyone ever converted who did not first hear the gospel? Which of the five steps were omitted? Which ones may we exclude and still be saved? Those who ridicule the five-step formula need to tell us, so I beg the denominational world right now to call us, come see us, meet with us or whatever, and tell us which ones that need to be omitted. Please tell us. So my dear unsaved friend, if you're not a member of the Lord's Church, of the Church of Christ, you cannot enter into heaven. I'm going to read two or three passages that the Lord Jesus wrote. Look to Luke 13. Luke 13. And Jesus said, the Lord himself said in Luke 13:3, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall perish. Now look with me at Matthew 10:10. The Lord himself said in Matthew 10:32-33, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. I'd like to just look at one more passage. Mark 16. The Lord himself said in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. I don't think there's a second grader in the whole city of Louisville that could not understand he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. What's so hard about it? As you can see, these are not my words. That's why I wanted to read them. The words of our Lord Jesus. So if you want to become a Christian, you must repent of your sins. you must confess Jesus as the Son of God and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And Jesus goes on to give us this promise. Think about it. In Revelation 2:10, he says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Be faithful unto death. After you've done these three steps, then I will give you that crown of life. And that crown of life is to live in harmony and peace forever and ever, ever and ever, with the Lord Jesus in heaven. Boy, won't that be wonderful. So I beg you to take advantage of this opportunity this morning by coming forward. Let us help you make your life right with God. If you're an unfaithful Christian, you can take care of that too by repenting to God. Then coming forward and let us know you have repented and let us pray with you and pray for you. You've heard me say so many times, eternity is just a breath away. Eternity is just a breath away. If you miss heaven, boy, I tell you, if you miss heaven, you missed it all. If you miss heaven, you have missed everything. Everything. This all this don't mean a thing. If you miss heaven, you've missed everything. Think about it. We can help you in any way. Take advantage of it right now. Come now as we stand and as we sing. Brother Charlie.